Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the Senate vote to restore unemployment cuts for 1.3 million Americans that came into effect on December the 28th, and get an analysis of the myths about unemployment that the right-wing press and the Republicans are propagating. Craig Harrington, an economics researcher at Media Matters, joins us to refute the charges from the armchair comfort of wealthy pundits like George Will and Charles Krauthammer that the benefits have gone on too long, the economy is improving, and that the benefits cause a dependency amongst the unemployed, causing them to lose the incentive to find work. Then we'll go to Caracas, Venezuela, and look into the murder of the former Miss Venezuela of 2004, who, along with her Irish husband, was gunned down on the side of a freeway after their car broke down. Their five-year-old daughter was wounded but is in stable condition. We will speak with David Smildy, a senior fellow at the Washington Office of Latin America, who is the moderator of the Venezuelan Politics and Human Rights blog, and discuss why Venezuela has one of the highest murder rates in the world and why the government is apparently in denial about the lack of safety and security for its citizens. Then finally, after years of scandals and ongoing federal corruption investigations that have brought charges against 18 current and former deputies for beating inmates, obstructing the FBI, and other crimes, the Los Angeles County Sheriff Lee Barker announced that he's retiring after 15 years in charge of the nation's largest jail system where these activities went on. Celeste Freeman, the founder and editor of Witness LA and author of G-Dog and the Homeboys, joins us to discuss whether Barker's retirement will head off possible federal indictments against him. Joining us now is Craig Harrington, an economic researcher at Media Matters who previously worked as a researcher and analyst focused on trade and economic policy reform. He has an article at MediaMatters.org, Media's latest unemployment myth, benefits have gone on too long. Welcome to Background Briefing, Craig Harrington.
Thank you for having me on.
And Craig, I must say, I just personally find it quite disgusting to see these armchair pundits like George Will and Krauthammer, who clearly are very wealthy men and, you know, powerful and well-connected and very skilled at what they do in terms of presenting right-wing propaganda. But the idea that they gratuitously beating up on the unemployed and smugly suggesting that somehow they're getting it too easy and getting a free ride is just something obscene about that. And here we are, observing the 50th anniversary of the war on poverty, and Republicans are creating poverty. They're cutting food stamps and cutting unemployment benefits. I don't understand it.
That's actually one of the sort of perverse side effects of the right-wing media, and then, of course, the right-wing political sphere that's enabled by that media. One of the side effects of their policy prescriptions is they continually say that, you know, anti-poverty programs are failing. They say that unemployment benefits are failing the unemployed because unemployment continues to be a problem. And you know, you'll have someone like Rand Paul who will write an op-ed incorrectly citing a study that stated that long-term unemployment beneficiaries have a harder time finding work than people who are not long-term unemployment beneficiaries. And he said, well, that's because they're receiving benefits, when in fact it's because they've been unemployed for so long. The way to correct these unemployment issues, the way to fix the broken labor market, isn't to kick people off of unemployment. It isn't to kick people out of food stamps. It isn't to stop funding anti-poverty measures. It's to create jobs programs through directed policy. That's what all of the economists are saying, and that's the thing that the right-wing media and the conservative political sphere simply ignore.
And, of course, economists will almost universally tell you that taking money out of a faltering economy or an economy that has not yet recovered, like the food stamps money, which is immediately spent and goes back into the economy, and like unemployment benefits that's immediately spent and goes back into the economy, is in itself counterintuitive.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we've seen. You know, when you look at the decisions made by the Federal Open Market Committee at the Federal Reserve, they've continually had this quantitative easing purchasing program where they're spending $85 billion, now $75 billion every month buying mortgage assets in the economy to try to boost the financial sector in hopes that that will trickle down. And every time that they do this, they issue in their policy statements that the reason they need to continue their asset purchases is because of what they call fiscal drag in the economy. And because the Federal Reserve is a nonpartisan entity, they can't say it's because Republicans are sabotaging economic progress. But when you look at the economics and the econometrics behind it, what you find is that every time we make a step forward, we take a step back. You know, the economy has been growing in 2013 and 2012, 2011, but it's growing slower than it could be. And in economics, it's just opportunity cost loss. Media Matters has been following this for a long time. Our economic team has covered this many times. And the problem is, when we're not instituting good policies and we're not taking the advice of economists, and in fact, we have a report out today showing economists are only 4% of the guests in economics news segments. So when the media is bringing people out to talk about economic issues and try to have economic perspectives, they're not talking to experts. If they were talking to the experts, they'd know that the government needs to get out of the way. It needs to stop cutting back on these programs. It needs to take some sort of stimulative effort and try to boost the economy. When you can increase demand, you increase that consumer engine, and you let the economy grow naturally. Instead, we just keep cutting along the edges out of this idea that we're going to fix the budget by, you know, cutting food stamps for starving kids and retirees, or that we're going to solve our long-term budget issues by cutting unemployment for 1.3 million people. But really, you're just increasing hardship for those people without solving any issues.
Again, I'm speaking with Craig Harrington, the economic researcher at Media Matters, who previously worked as a researcher and analyst focused on trade and economic policy reform. He has an article at MediaMatters.org, Media's Latest Unemployment Myth, Benefits Have Gone On Too Long. So the 60-37 vote in the Senate gets over that procedural hurdle, the filibuster hurdle that they've been using to shut down just about everything in the Senate, the Republicans. So it's uncertain, of course, both McConnell the minority leader of the Senate and Boehner in the House say they want to offset any unemployment benefits with some cut somewhere else. And of course, we've had this whole budget process, which was done in private with Senator Patty Murray and Representative Paul Ryan, and they've come up with a deal that basically restores a lot of the cuts to defense that came in the sequester. So in other words, the defense budget, which is already obscenely bloated, still at greater than the Cold War levels when we had a real enemy, the Soviet Union, everybody agrees that they got to have a break. And we're talking about billions and billions of extra on top of the hundreds of billions that they have. And we're talking about a 3 month extension for unemployment benefits that costs what? $20 billion or something?
Extending the unemployment benefits through 2014 would be about $25 billion, according to the Congressional Budget Office. And when you listen to conservative politicians and conservative media pundits, they point out that they want to have that offset. But it's important to note, and right-wing politicians and right-wing media are happy to point this out, the Democrats and the Republicans agreed on this Murray-Ryan budget agreement. And in the Murray-Ryan budget, which the president signed, it did not include an increase or a further extension of unemployment benefits. So if you're looking for offsetting the cost of those benefits with defense cuts, the Republicans have already stonewalled that. They've already created this budget procedure that was signed into law that will allow them to avoid going into the defense industry or into other areas to make those cuts. If we do, in fact, reinstate the emergency unemployment compensation for people who are part of the long-term unemployed, that money is almost certainly going to have to come out of cutting somewhere else. And it's very unlikely that it's going to come out of one of those sacred cows like defense, because that's something that the Republicans specifically protected in this budget negotiation. So if we, in fact, get a vote in the Senate to extend the emergency unemployment compensation, and if that goes to the House, where it almost certainly will be stonewalled by Republican opposition, but the only way it has a chance is by cutting somewhere else. And you're talking about education, you're talking about food stamp funding, you're talking about something, some discretionary program that helps Americans, that employs Americans, is going to have to get cut in order to put money into another program that helps and employs Americans as well.
So what happened here, given that the president has spoken out, and there have been a number of voices of disgust at what's happening, that this sort of gratuitous punishment of the already unemployed who are being punished enough by this economy that was the crash of which was caused by Wall Street. The Wall Street's been made whole. You mentioned the QE quantitative easing, the $85 billion a month. A lot of that paper that they're buying up is the worthless paper that got us into the trouble in the first place. But they're making the banks whole, but Main Street languishing. And the president is meeting with the families of the unemployed in the White House. So he seems to have gotten the message here. Why did they make such a lousy deal and now find themselves in a situation where they're saying that there's nowhere, you know, that there's no way we can rob Peter to pay Paul?
Well, it would seem in some ways that the budget deal that was hammered out by Patty Murray and Paul Ryan was almost created out of necessity because of the fact that we went to a shutdown in October. And that was one thing that both sides wanted to avoid. The president, you know, came out politically ahead of Republicans on the shutdown, and Democrats finished ahead of the president on the shutdown. But everyone lost face with the American public. The shutdown was extremely unpopular. And if we didn't get a budget negotiation, if we didn't have a negotiated budget agreement come out of this bipartisan caucus, it's almost certain that we would have gone back into shutdown sometime in January or February. And if that were the case, everyone would lose politically. So what it seems like is that everyone wanted to avoid going into that. And one of the things that just had to be sacrificed so that they could save political face was unemployment benefits. The hope was always to reinstate them somewhere else. But now that there's going to have to be this sort of guaranteed cut included in the benefits, it's hard to see where that $25 billion will come from. If we were sensible and we were making reasonable fiscal policy, we would simply pay for it at a time when interest rates are zero and money is virtually free for the U.S. government. We would finance this $25 billion in debt, build the economy through the stimulation that goes from that program into the consumer economy, and then pay for it with an increased tax receipts, increased employment, and decreased reliance on other federal benefits programs. But we don't have sensible fiscal policy in Washington. What we have is just this crisis-driven narrative, and that leaves us with unemployment benefits being cut for 1.3 million Americans who don't deserve this kind of punishment.
And meanwhile, you've got the Club for Growth and the Heritage Action lobbies that are being funded by the Koch brothers and other billionaires, saying, warning their Republican colleagues not to cave in on unemployment benefits because they're a free lunch. And again, we're talking about $25 billion in the overall scheme of things, which is absolutely a drop in the bucket. How about farm subsidies? I mean, you have this congressman from Tennessee who has been quoting the Bible, saying that he who does not work doesn't deserve to be fed, and yet his family receives hundreds of, millions from the federal government in crop subsidies. Or perhaps we should put the unemployed in the military, just give them a temporary commission in the United States military. What? Is there any creative way to get around this obscenity of small change, $25 billion, yet 1.3 million people depend upon it, and they've been hurt after Christmas, and there's going to be another 1.9 million cut off in the middle of the year, I understand?
It's actually important and interesting that you brought up the farm subsidies, because part of the farm bill ever since 1949 had been that a food stamp initiative had been attached to the farm bill. Food stamps didn't exist as they exist now in the 1940s and 50s, but there was a similar program that existed as a sort of pilot initiative. And what we've seen for almost 50 years, or over 50 years, is that the farm bill had always included this food stamps, so that rural and urban constituencies could be tied together, so that this spending policy for two different and seemingly unrelated areas of the economy could be directed to help both of them. And what we saw in the House of Representatives in the autumn, in late 2013, was a decoupling of food stamps from the Farm Bill. And so we passed a Farm Bill, and we passed farm subsidies, and Democrats agreed to it, or it was allowed to proceed through, because, you know, we need a Farm Bill, we need an agricultural policy. But Republicans in Congress, in a lot of ways, emboldened by the right-wing media, were able to pry food stamps out of the Farm Bill for the first time in history. And so now we have food stamps languishing on the chopping block, and that's something that serves 48 million Americans. And it's a death by a thousand cuts. Every budget item that they can possibly pry away, or they can possibly take down, or they can possibly cut around the edges, they will, because they're emboldened by people who want to ostensibly cut the deficit. And of course, the real argument in favor of cutting all these programs is, if you're anti-government, if you're the anti-government policy, you don't want government to work well, and you want its programs to serve as few people as possible. And that's what we see.
Well, apparently, the figure that I'm just reading now is that this extension of 3 months that the Senate just passed, but as we've discussed, the House and the Senate Republicans want to offset it with cuts somewhere else. Apparently, the three month extension is only costing $6.4 billion.
It's true,
and so that's what we're talking about: $6.4 billion.
The current 3 month extension, which is something that would really be the last straw for many conservative politicians and conservative media pundits, the last thing they're willing to give up is another 3 months. It's about $6 billion, but it's not actually the cost of the line item budget. You know, this is a program that stimulates the economy. Money that goes out in unemployment benefits is spent by unemployed people who are currently looking for work. It's spent immediately. It is their, in many cases, entire cash income. So the idea that it costs money is sort of irrelevant, because it goes into the consumer economy and it has a multiplier effect, and it stimulates job creation, it stimulates economic productivity, and it comes back to the government in tax receipts. But of course, in the right-wing media and in right-wing political circles, they just disagree with basic economic principles like the multiplier effect. They don't agree that if you pump money into the consumer economy, that money will return through tax receipts and economic growth. So they're talking about a tiny figure. You know, we have a $3.9 trillion federal budget annualized, and we're talking about $6 billion. We're talking about far less than 1%. We're talking about almost 1% of 1%, and that's what we're fighting over. But the real effects on the ground is that millions of people will be affected. There are 1.3 million people who have lost benefits already, and if those benefits don't get reinstated, there's really nothing that they can do. And right now in Washington, the fight is over whether or not we're going to cut that $6 billion out of the National Science Foundation, the National Endowment for the Arts, or some other area, so that we can help unemployed workers stay surviving in a very, very difficult labor market.
Well, again, it's the people, the messengers in this case, these very comfortable people, these well-off people who are so heartless and hypocritical in pointing out, in blaming, in effect, our fiscal woes on these unfortunate victims of this economy that was destroyed by their main sponsors and backers, the Wall Street bankers. It's pretty hard to take the idea that the sky is falling from the deficit. And I'm sorry, but we've got to, you know, we got to make cuts somewhere. And too bad, you know, you're the freeloaders and you're out of luck. I mean, it's obscene when you think about it, and I just don't understand. Is the fact that the president and after the Democrats made this disgraceful sellout deal, and I understand the reasons for it, which was you don't want the government to shut down again, but maybe, you know, it's necessary for the government to shut down again if the right people are blamed for the shutdown. And now, of course, the pendulum swung the other way. Obama's in trouble because of the botched rollout of healthcare.gov. So, anyway, I'm rambling on here. Just a final thought from you to shut me up.
Well, that's actually perfectly interesting. You know, one of the things that we saw during the shutdown is that the rollout of a website, which was glitchy and has now mostly been fixed, was completely ignored by the media, which was focused on the shutdown. So if you're a Republican or if you're a member of the right-wing media, you don't want another shutdown because it'll take away the only talking point you have left. There's no social policy, there's no fiscal policy, there's no monetary policy, there's no foreign policy. Nothing's being provided by the right wing other than that they hate Obamacare. And that's what they're hoping will embolden them in 2014, and they're largely being invigorated in this by a media sphere, a right-wing media sphere, that is fact-free. You know, we at Media Matters continually work 24 hours a day fact-checking right-wing media because they forward lies and fabrications and just blatant falsehoods as if it was backed by evidence. Their argument that we need to cut unemployment is just a perfect example of it. They say that unemployment benefits increase the unemployment rate. Well, that's true, because in order to receive benefits, you have to technically be attached to the labor force. You have to be looking for a job. When we continue the cuts of unemployment, which went into effect on December 28th, if these don't get reinstated before the next monthly jobs report comes out in February, what we will see is a decrease in the unemployment rate. And the right-wing media will say, oh, well, look, these people went out and found jobs. In fact, what they did was become detached from the labor force. And the unemployment rate will drop because fewer people will be a part of the labor force. And so the actual number of people who are unemployed, who are technically unemployed and looking for work, will drop. But that doesn't mean that we'll actually have put anyone to work. It'll just mean that we kicked people out of the system. And they're not going to report that.
Well, Craig Harrington, I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Craig Harrington, an economic researcher at Media Matters, who previously worked as a researcher and analyst focused on trade and economic policy reform. He has an article at MediaMatters.org, Media's Latest Unemployment Myth, Benefits Have Gone On Too Long. We're going to take a brief station break, and then we'll go to Caracas, Venezuela.